Again, I'm very, very honored that I could be here on this wonderful Sunday. It's good to see many familiar faces. As what Pastor Richard said, we had our weekend in, we had our Oceania Pastors and Leaders Cluster in Nadi, Fiji. And I don't know if we have the picture up there. Do we already have it? Okay, there you go. There's all of us. They gave us all a shirt. You must have seen some of this in the Facebook. But we really, truly had a great time. But I think one of our major highlights was just a time when the leaders of Oceania are able to come together. We miss Nelly. He had a flight to catch that evening. But I think it took all of us to a whole new level of just a bonding and greater commitment to see Oceania just become, again, amazing for Jesus. Amen. And again, God's anointing is poured out when brothers dwell together and in agreement, in oneness of heart and mind for the glory of Jesus Christ. I thank Pastor Richard for this opportunity, this invitation. Pastor Michael could have been with me for these 3 or 4 days that we will be here. But all of a sudden, he had his major exam for his master's program in Asbury, so he canceled. I don't know why. So he's supposed to be preaching at Pastor Taulu's, but we had had this arranged prior that I come and basically fellowship and share the word of God to you this particular Sunday. You know, today is Pastor Steve's birthday as well. Yeah, May 6th. So maybe say hello to him, those of you that are Facebook friends with him. And, of course, he doesn't know everybody, but just to encourage him. So, again, thank you, Pastor Richard. Pastor Richard is, through the years, I've gotten very close with him. I respect him as a great leader, as a great spiritual warrior. I always see him as a warrior in the Lord, but a very great, a tender heart and a father heart. And there are people you just want to, there are leaders every now and then you like to be around him, but I really like to be around Pastor Richard because of his father's heart and great love for God and for the people. And so as I've gotten to know them and Chrissy this past few years, I've really learned to respect them even more. And you are really, truly blessed to have them as your pastors. Pastor, along with A&W, what's my favorite root beer? That's Pastor Alfred and Pastor Weong, right? So when I'm here, I love to drink root beer. So, all right. So, again, just a quick update. This is my family. We celebrated our 29-year anniversary last April 8th during our Build London. We were actually in London a few weeks ago for our International Apostolic Team meeting and then have the Build European conference. Actually, my first time to attend, and my daughter just finished college, and my son John Daniel is third year engineering at University of the Philippines. Hopefully, I can bring them here one of these days. This is our Asia team, just to introduce to you. I'd like to give you as many updates on our side of the world. This is your family, and whatever it is that we accomplished in Asia is also your accomplishment as well, because again, we are one family together. In fact, our region, Oceania and Asia, are one and the same. So I had the privilege of leading this entire team. This was our February meeting. But this, our region is so big, it's 60% of the world. We've divided them into 8 regions. So Indochina, China, Philippines, Oceania, East Asia, South Asia, Middle East, and Central Asia. This is the region we work with. And of course, Pastor Joshua and Yinka had the privilege of becoming our hub leaders in this region of Asia. Quick update for Metro Manila. This is where we come from. Again, this is not just our achievement. This is all of our accomplishments as we walk together as spiritual family in this side of the world. So we're celebrating 34 years this year. And what is exciting is now we are in 17 locations and 170 weekend services. Just think about it. I think the last time I was here, we were 112. Now 170 services going on every weekend in just Metro Manila alone. 92,000 members now with over 10,000 Victory Group leaders. And when we have a small group leaders meeting, which we just had one recently this February, this it looks like this. So this is in the Mall of Asia Arena. We have 13,000, including a few potential the interns that are becoming incoming small group leaders. So it's just an incredible moment of... So every year, our theme revolves around the 4E. Last year was engaged. This year is established. So this is not some organization. This is your family. Okay? This is every nation just in the Philippines. Outside Metro Manila, we are now 92 churches. Again, you know how our churches started? Students that go to Manila, finish school, they go back to their province and said, Pastor, what do we do? Do we attend some church somewhere? You're a small group leader, aren't you? Yeah, okay, then go start small groups. When you're 30, 50, then let's plant a church. So basically, and these are not smaller churches. These are our churches are some of the largest churches in the different cities all over the Philippines. And we average 14 new church plants a year. So that's encouraging, 306 worship services outside Manila. So I like to show you this, not to impress you. It does not seem to relate to you, but just to let you know that discipleship works. We're not just a big church with big numbers. We have Victory Weekend, 7,000 went through it just in 2017. And although our baptism dipped a little, but that's still 5,800 baptism. How many of you know that's significant? Amen? We are strictly monitoring because we are a big church. We're strictly monitoring that we're not growing because we're just big and lots of people from other churches come join us. We look at our baptisms every year. That tells you that that discipleship is actually working. And for a campus update, we're serving 890 campuses now. Our attendance every week for our small group, for our campus is over 15,000. And our youth services, if you've been there, it's like a concert. Lines would be so long just for students to want to come sit in front. So it's really incredible. And you know, you might think it's revival season. Revival sort of church growth have stopped about more than 10 years ago in the Philippines. Probably only our church grows this much, not because we have handsome pastors and dynamic preachers, but because we do discipleship. We value people. We love people. Yes, praise God. And so we have just for the youth alone, I was not able to get the 2017, but can you imagine in 1 year, excluding the church, this is just the youth. They have over 2,000 baptisms just in themselves. I mean, we could easily count just conversions, but baptism is what matters to us. And this is the August 2017. I don't know if some of you attended, but this was the ENC conference. Last year, 13,000 total delegates that came for the conference. That's every nation campus, 33 nations, over 1,000 international delegates, and 768 campuses represented. Can we give the Lord a big hand for that? That is truly incredible. And of course, our Asia ENC is now more consolidated. I know Auckland City, Every Nation, will be hosting the Every Nation cluster meeting for this region shortly. But this was Asia. We took advantage of the APEC. By the way, APEC will cease to exist. It will be called Build Asia from now on. But that was APEC in Malaysia, so they have Every Nation campus. And these are all the directors from different nations. Pastor Wee Yong is out there, the most handsome guy of all. They put it there because some of them might be overshadowed. So again, this to strengthen, share best practices among campus ministries and what God is doing all over Asia. That's really incredible. Give me also quick Asia update now where we are. In Asia, this is our region directly under the list of the nations in Every Nation, official list. I'm happy to say this is South Asia and Southeast Asia. We are in 26 of 26 nations. So we are present in 100% of the nation, which is why now we are going towards Central Asia, Middle East. We're helping Middle East now, 11 of 15 nations. So we are really expanding there as well. Central Asia, we are in 7 of 10. And in Oceania, we are up, of course, 6. That's 50 of 60. That's 85% of all of Asia. And we give the Lord a big hand for that as well. So Asia is probably the most aggressive region, especially when it comes to church planting. We've counted the number of churches that we planted in Asia in the last 18 months, and we planted a total of 43 churches. Come on, give the Lord a hand. So our Oceania there, Canberra, Perth, Suva, Fiji, Tauranga, that's your church plant, and of course, Port Moresby, just really incredible. For the next 18 months, we're looking at planting 52 churches. 52 churches. And of course, we are still making some adjustments there. And it's really incredible. Churches are now, like, for example, Indonesia is really stepping up and are now really planting a lot of churches. In Malaysia, they'll be planting three, and so on and so forth. There's just too many of them to right now look. To give you a quick perspective, how significant Asia and Oceania is, if the world was a village of 100 people, one would be from Oceania. Five from North America, nine from Latin America, 12 from Europe, 13 from Asia, but 60 would be Asia. So Asia and Oceania makes up 61%. That makes us the super region of the world. But this is my greatest advocacy now, because we've really worked hard for, we will soon close, in fact, our Central Asia, I'll show you the next slide for Central Asia. We will soon close Central Asia. In 2019, we would have started, we would have presence in all of them. My heart, because these are sovereign island nations in the United Nations, are really hope and prayers that we would have churches in all of this. So if you're representing one of these islands, it's not an accident that you are here. You may not necessarily be the church planter, but you could be the point man. Intercede for your island. Amen? Intercede for your nation and say, Lord, I want an every nation church, strong every nation church planted. And so far, we only have Fiji. That's planted, but we will plant soon. And Fiji's thinking about planting another one next year. It's really, they're quite aggressive. And so that's, we're believing God that we will have presence in every single one of these nations. In Central Asia, we are in 7 of 10. And I'm happy to say that, you know, again, we have 3 more left. And but we are targeting this year for 2018 Uzbekistan and Tajikistan. And 2019, Turkmenistan, then we would be in all of these nations. This is why our church plant is now focused here, because we've reached all of our region. We're just basically strengthening them now. And our 2020 initiative, we've asked God for 3 countries a year based on Psalm 2:8. Ask of me and I'll make the nations your heritage, the ends of the earth your possession. God gave us 3 nations faithfully every year. And this year is Lebanon, Turkmenistan, and Uzbekistan. Maybe the Lord will speak to some of you here to be part of our church plant. You know, when we say part of church plant, you don't have to go as full time. You could actually relocate and get a job just to be able to help start our church. Amen? For some of these nations, especially if you have a burden. And you know, I'm happy also to announce that 2019-2020, we have people, point person for all of them already. We're just building a team for these church plants all on the remaining part. I'd like to highlight this. One of the last nation, in fact, it's called the last Shangri-La in the Himalayas near Nepal, is the nation called Bhutan. It just opened in the middle of 1990s. It's a very significant nation, very, very few Christians. And this is our pastor, Pastor Tandin. He is standing. I wish we could show the video, but it's embedded in a keynote, but not in a PowerPoint. But he's actually talking about this land. 2,574 square meter of land is fully purchased. And the reason I'm giving you this update is because your church has given to this land. You have sown to this land. Amen? So can you give yourselves a big hand for sowing into this land? This land is fully paid. We are now going into phase 2. Now, I don't know. You know, this is one of the most restricted countries in the world. And the only way you can even operate a Christian work is when you own your own land. So that's when we start believing God for land. This is just a few meters away from Royal Timpu College, the top premier university basically in this region. And this lady beside here is Her Royal Highness, the aunt of the president. Basically, she is a philanthropist. She decided to sell some royal lands. and we were the first to make the offer, and we just fully paid the land, and the deed is now with us. And so we are thankful that, so we are in the safest place, protected place. Can you imagine? Royal heritage. Wow. Give the Lord a big hand for that. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let me just, I know part of what I'm going to share with you today is just God's heart for the nations. Some of you might be thinking, how in the world could a poor nation like us, for example, I don't know if that ever crossed your mind, how did this all happen? If there was one nation that have every excuse not to go to the nations, it would be us. Considering our needs and the poverty even in our own nation, how did this all happen? Everything started in 1984 in the Philippines. But as early as 1986, this revelation hit us about being a sowing nation and being a field nation. You know, no matter how much money you put in the field never reaps. It's always the sower that reaps. Based on the principle of sowing and reaping. You know, if the Americans sow, certainly it's the Americans who reap. We have tremendous New Zealand missionaries in the Philippines today. They're also making significant impact there. Some of them are my closest friends. So if it's the New Zealand people, the Kiwis who sow, guess what? Even though you put in so much money to the Filipinos, and in the Filipinos' mind it's a blessing, the real place of blessing is not in the receiving, it's in the giving. For Jesus said it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. If you have a poverty mentality, your mentality is always come, give me, bless me. It's always receiving. Pastor Richard just mentioned that a while ago, that sowing and reaping is not just about getting. It's about sowing. And so we decided no matter how poor we are, we can barely pay rent in those days. In fact, our offering is really, really heavy. Not because people are so generous, but because it's all coins. It's really, and the bank, every time we go on Monday, they dreaded it because it's all coins that will be put in front of them. But we decided we're not going to just be a sowing, and we're not going to be a field nation any longer. With all the faith we can master, we decided above our tithes and offering, we were going to give every first Sunday of the month, making a pledge annually and giving it every first Sunday of the month. And you know, we gathered all our students, very poor students, maybe a handful few that are working. And that day, we made a pledge before God, we're going to sow to the nations. And as we took up the offering, we raised $200. We quickly divided in 1986 into 8 units of $25 each. And that $25 we sold to an American missionary to Cape Town, South Africa. $25 we sold to a missionary to Tokyo, Japan, American missionary. We sold to Mexico, to Argentina. We sold our little $25. And let me tell you, that finance grow and grow and grow. And I don't know how that translates into our money today, but I think in terms of U.S. dollars, well, in terms of U.S. dollars, probably in the tune of about $180,000 a month. For Filipinos, that would be around 7 million pesos a month. And that cannot be spent in the Philippines. It should only be sown into the nations. This is why God's breaking poverty in our church and in our nation. Amen? Because God's no respecter of people. You know, some of you might be thinking, wow, you guys are really blessed in the Philippines because everything is so easy there. To the contrary, 75% of all the churches all over the Philippines are less than 75 members. And 62% of all the churches all over the Philippines, less than 50 members. So it is not easy. If it's easy, I invite you to come and start a church there. Because lots of people start and they cannot even break through 100. So what you are seeing in our church is partly because we committed to make disciples, and partly because we have broken the spirit of poverty by giving of ourselves, not receiving, but giving and sowing, not only to our nation, but the nations of the world. Amen? I hope that encourages you. So that segues me into my message concerning God's heart for the nations. You know, God's original plan with men And this can also apply in your life, either individually or corporately as a church together. In Genesis 1, verse 28, if you look at carefully, when God created Adam and Eve, this was His terms of the covenant for them. He said, God blessed them. Everybody say, blessed. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful. Say, fruitful. Increase in number. Say, increase in number. Okay. And then He said, fill the earth. God's original plan for man is a covenant of blessing, to bless him with the blessings of fruitfulness, increase, but there is a purpose. What is the purpose? So that we could fill the earth with the glory of God. Blessings without a purpose is dangerous. God bless us for a reason and purpose. Unfortunately, that generation became selfish. Sin entered the heart of man, and wickedness proliferated all over the earth. God had to reboot creation, wipe humanity from the face of the earth, preserve Noah and his family, and when the flood receded, God reestablished his covenant with man. And what did he say? God blessed Noah, saying to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth. So this is reboot, new creation. Did God change his plan? No. His plan remained the same. He wants to bless us so we could be fruitful, increase in number, so we could fill the earth. He reiterated the same purpose in verse 7. As for you, be fruitful, increase in number, multiply on the earth, and increase upon it. But there was a problem with the Noah generation. Instead of spreading out, in fact, if we follow the promise, truly God has blessed them. They were fruitful, they increased in number, but here's what they said, lest we spread all across the face of the earth, why don't we just come together, let's make a name for ourselves, let's build a tower that reaches the heavens. We could translate that today into, let's just build a successful ministry, after all God's blessing the works of our hands, after all we're growing, let's come on, let's build some more buildings, and let's make it so successful it reaches the heavens. And that concerned the Lord, because they forgot the very purpose for why God blessed them, which is to fill the earth. Any ministry today that just fully engaged in itself, making itself successful, without putting the nations, the cities of the nations, the regions of the nations, in their priority, is building their Tower of Babels. So God came and confused their language, and they were forced to spread across the earth. Reminds me of Acts. Revival came, they were blessed, they were fruitful, they increased in number, but they forgot that the mandate was to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. What happens when you don't do Acts 1:8? Acts 8:1 happens to you. God sent a persecution to force them out to share the blessings. So this is what happened in Genesis chapter 9. God confused their language to force them to spread out. And God put into effect a new redemptive plan by calling Abraham in Genesis 12. And God said, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. You will be a blessing. All peoples of earth will be blessed through you. Amen? So I want you to know this. Why is this significant? Because Genesis 3:29 says this. If you belong to Christ, you are, all of you, are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the very promise of God. And what is that promise? Now God, just as God was looking to Abraham, now He's looking to every single one of you who are Christians and saying, I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you. Whoever curses you, I'll curse. All peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. As Christians, what is the implication to us? Stop thinking small things. We cannot just pray for our own needs. Amen? I heard Pastor Steve once said, if all you're asking from God is for my tuition, my mortgage, my tuition fee for my kids, all of these things, then it's all just about you. Quit praying that prayer and said, Lord, bless me to overflowing. This is not prosperity teaching, my brothers and sisters. How can you fulfill your end of the bargain to be a blessing to the world if you are not blessed yourselves? So be bold and ask God boldly, Lord, bless me Bless me so I could be a channel of your blessing to my church, to the missionaries, the campus missionaries, our future church planters. We are about to embark on a building program where we'll be meeting there in a few months. Can you imagine? If you are blessed, what the scriptures say, I want you to be rich so you could be generous on all occasions. And your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This is not prosperity. Prosperity, what you call this gospel, prosperity preaching is prosperity without a purpose. But if you align your heart for the kingdom of God, to finance the work of the kingdom of God, to be a channel of His blessing, then I'll tell you that is with a blessings with a purpose. Amen? That is what God desire. And here in Isaac, it continues on. I will confirm a covenant between me and you, will greatly increase your numbers. Genesis 28, with Jacob, may God Almighty bless you, make you fruitful, increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. In Leviticus, I will look on you with favor and make you fruitful and increase your numbers. One of the expressions of God's favor is fruitfulness and increase, because this is part of His blessings in our lives. And even when Israel was in rebellion and they were exiled to Babylon, what was God's message to them? Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Our sheer number in the Philippines alone is what makes us impact the world. We have just too many people who are disciples, who are giving finances. That's why we have these enormous resources. You see, when you're blessed by God, you have more human resource to evangelize, to lead, to make disciples, to help the church. Amen? And the thing I love most, church planting opportunities. We could go to many cities and many nations and really make an impact for the Lord. Now, just to put missions in perspective, why is this such an important value to us? Some of us sometimes reason the reason we do missions, we have no choice, it's non-negotiable, because the Bible says it very clearly. On the contrary, the reason we actually have a Bible today is because God had a mission. If God had no mission, there would have been no need for a Bible. If God had no mission, there would have been no need for a chosen nation, no Israel. And if there's no Israel, then there's no prophets, no Messiah, and even no church. Why do you think church exists? It's a salt and light to the world. Amen? So yes, it's a community of believers. We are to care for each other, love each other, serve one another, bless one another. But we exist to be a light to the world. So there are two forces in the church. The attractional, where when people come, they sense the presence of God in our worship. By the way, we have awesome worship today. I truly enjoyed our worship. They bring in, they usher in the presence of God. The preaching, the word brings conviction. Many people come to know the Lord through the church. But the normal process is fish don't naturally jump to the boat. The other side of church is missional. We have to go where this lost people are, in campus, in offices. That's why we do small groups. That's why we have mission teams. That's why we plant churches. We have to have both of this. In Revelation 5:9, there is a picture given to us. One of the many pictures in the Bible that describes who we are is, the Bible says, we are a kingdom and a priest to serve our God, and that we shall reign on the earth. Can you say that with me? Kings and priests. It is consistent with Old Testament as well. Exodus 19:6. And you shall be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. In Revelation 1:5. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood has made us to be a kingdom and priest. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, we are called a royal priesthood. Royalty speaks of kingdom, God's dominion, God's rulership. Priesthood speaks of what? It speaks of a redemptive function where we stand in the gap between sinners and God. So here, the summary of it, the kingdom speaks of our deliberate effort to extend God's dominion among the nations. And as priests, we stand on a redemptive role of reconciling peoples and nations to God. So this is very important. The prophetic role of Jesus is that as Christians, we are to serve as kings and priests. Let me explain to you further. For the church to be effective, for the church to be cutting edge in this day and hour, it must align itself in the prophetic role of Jesus. We see this in the very beginning verse of the whole New Testament, where Jesus was introduced here, a record of the genealogy of Jesus, the son of David and the son of Abraham. Think with me now. How could Jesus be the son of David or the son of Abraham when he was born hundreds of years later? The only way this makes sense, if it's a typology that represents Jesus, okay? Let's talk about son of David. When you think of son of David, who comes to mind? David had many sons, but his most prominent son is? When you think of Solomon, what comes to mind? Kingdom, dominion, royalty. Remember? Royal, priesthood, kings, and priests. That's the picture. What about son of Abraham? When you think of Abraham's son, he also had a miracle child, but he also had other sons. But his most prominent son is Isaac. And Isaac was offered as a sacrifice. It's a redemptive function. So here we see the significance. Two typical sons representing Jesus, son of David, son of Abraham, Isaac. Abraham's son typified Christ and his redemptive function, being offered in Mount Moriah as a living sacrifice, and Solomon, David's son, typified Christ in his royalty, being king of glory and splendor. And this is all validated also by two symbolic by animals that represent Jesus. The sacrificial lamb typified Christ in his redemptive function as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But it's also represented as a lion. When you think of a lion, it speaks of what? Again, royalty, kingdom, dominion. So, lion from the tribe of Judah as a king of the beast, the lion represents kingly authority. I went through all the trouble of explaining that to you to get to this very simple point that as a church, if we want to remain cutting edge in the 21st century and as the Lord continues to tarry, is we exist to win the lost and to advance the kingdom of God. Amen. Church cannot only be confined in the four corners of our building and we just enjoy Jesus on the day we worship Him. No, the real world is out there, and that is where we become great witnesses for God. Amen? In a real world, some of you are crying out, Lord, get me out of this job. I'm the only Christian. Precisely why God placed you there, to be the only salt and light. But Lord, I don't like my boss. It's okay. Hang in there. It's not an accident that you are where you are right now. Because you have a mission. A mission in your place, in that workplace. Maybe it does not pay you very well. But it's okay because you are serving God's purpose right now in that place. And as you remain faithful, God's going to promote you and give you other assignments. I love the way we need to have a healthy perspective of our churches. We are not just, I know there are many churches, wonderful churches in the city of Auckland, but we are not just one among many. We need to see ourselves an outpost for the kingdom of God. Amen? I love the way Bill Hybels viewed the church. He said the local church is the hope of the world. Do you see your church, your local church, this congregation as the hope of the world? You know, as a man thinketh that what he will be. If we see our church then as the hope of the world, then we can really make significant impact in our community. The local church has the potential to be the most influential force on the planet. Redemptive centers that Jesus intended them to be. Strengthen families, transform communities, and change the world. A force against which the very gates of hell cannot prevail against. Here's my quick summary of what I think the church is. And again, we could come up with so many things. One, it's a body of believers called together to become church family. This is not just a spiritual club or spiritual organization. This is family. In family, we, no matter what happened, we stay committed. Amen? We fix our problems, but we serve each other. We cover each other's backs. We serve one another. We honor one another in family. We are no longer foreigners and aliens, even though we love multiculturalism and multi-ethnicity and multi-generation. That is what this church represents. But yet, we are one church. Amen? I'm sorry to say, it doesn't matter what your food preference, your color is. The same Holy Spirit that lives in Jesus, lives in Pastor Richard, lives in all the island people here, and Filipinos and Malaysians and all the other nationalities. And that makes us brothers and sisters, whether you like it or not. One Heavenly Father. Amen? Praise God. Second, it's a visible expression of Christ on earth. how we represent Jesus is very important. He's the head, we are the body. He's not seen as the invisible head, but the world sees his body. How we represent Jesus in the office, in our workplaces, in our community matters. I pray we serve as salt and light. A body of believers go together, become disciples of Jesus. Not just Christians that show up in church on Sunday. What's a disciple? It's a disciple is a person who follows Jesus, fellowship with believers, and fish for lost people. If you are a disciple, these are the things that you do, because that is what disciples are. And finally, a people of God called to carry out the apostolic mandate. The mandate is not given to some parachurch, it's given to the church. We will stand before God and give an account to God for the great commission that he has given us to make, which is to make disciples of all the nations. Now, just quick few facts here. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the total number of missionaries all over the world is around 429,000 missionaries. That seemed like a lot of people, but in light of the bigness of the whole world, that is a drop in a bucket. This is why Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Do you know that Amway has 3.5 million direct salesperson? That Avon have 6 million, Herbalife has 3 million, and Tupperware has 1.9 million? It will dwarf the number of missionaries all over the world. If evangelism is such an important business, which it is, why? If man has a soul and that soul can either be won or lost for eternity, then the most important business in the world is winning lost souls. And yet we have very few people that are willing to give their lives to advance God's kingdom in the nations. Do you know that 95% of all Christians have never led a single soul to Jesus in their entire life? I don't know whether you're in a 5% or you're in the 95%. If you're in the 95%, change that so that tomorrow you lead someone to the Lord, you'll be in the 5%. And here's the sad fact. Not only is this a pitiful number, but out of the 429,000, 95% or 407,000 missionaries work among nations that have a lot of churches already. And only 5% or 15,000 missionaries work among unreached. There's a tremendous imbalance of workers. No wonder why, even though we have millions and millions of churches all over the world, yet 42% of the world has never heard the gospel. Why? We focus on nations that have already tons and tons of churches. The ratio in America for one missionary, for every time we send a missionary that goes to unreached people, one missionary to 152,000 peoples. So every time we send a missionary, good luck, God bless you. Hallelujah, 152,000 hanging on your shoulder. In America, because of their many number of workers, one worker for every 230 people. It is really pitifully few. Our Christian spending is not helping also. 95% of our expense goes to domestic operation, which is a legitimate expense. We need to pay rent, we need to pay salary, we need to pay operations, all of that. Assuming 5% goes to missions, there are two kinds of mission, regular mission and frontier mission. Regular mission is 4.5, which means when you say you give to regular mission, those are existing missionary work. And 0.5, that is one half of 1% goes to unreached people, which is 42% of the world. No wonder why we're not even close to finishing the gospel, advancing the Great Commission. Because we're putting our finances sometimes on the wrong places, when we should be funding where it is most needed. But I'll tell you this, despite these grim challenges, I want to encourage you, God is alive. Amen? 70,000 estimate new believers are being saved every day. 28,000 in China alone, 20,000 in Africa. There are 3,500 churches started per week worldwide. There are 7 million churches in 23,500 denominations all over the world. The current ratio today is 800 churches for every one unreached people group. This is actually the breakdown right here. Today, that's 800. Today, currently, they said it's over 1,000 churches for one unreached people group. It makes me wonder, with all these resources we have, why can't we not finish this work? Do you know the richest enterprise is not Walmart, it's not Steve Jobs, it's not, the Microsoft guy, Bill Gates. You know the richest enterprise in the world is the Church of Jesus Christ. Do you know how much more percent from that finance? Should we give? If we really are serious about financing all the work, all the missionary to finish this job, do you know how much more should the church set aside to fund all the work? It's not 20%, it's not 10%, it's not 5%, only 3%. Can you imagine? And yet, we're giving one half of 1%. So this is very skewed, and this is a good, I know these are numbers, some of you are not really stimulated by this, but this is a real eye-opener. Why we value the Great Commission so much. In Africa, in 1900, 3% Christian. Today, many parts of Africa have over 50% Christian. In Korea, in 1900, no Protestant church. Impossible to penetrate. Today, 30% are Christians and over 4,000 churches in Seoul, Korea alone. God's alive. Amen? Praise God. In Latin America, 1900, 50,000 Christians. 1980, 200,000. In 2001, over 100 million. I was just there last February for our Build Bolivia. The site was in Bolivia. In China, in 1950, close to 1 million believers. Today, estimates between 160, in fact, to 220 million Christians inside China. So true, God, the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing. Hallelujah. So I'd like to close with this one last slide. I want to encourage you because sometimes it makes you wonder, Pastor, with all these challenges, is it really possible for us to see the earth filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord? Is it really possible to fulfill the Great Commission? Now come to think with me for a moment. Can you imagine Jesus saying, go make disciples of all nations, but really he turned his back and laughed, jiggling, because he knew it was a big joke, it cannot really happen? Now that's not Jesus' personality, right? I believe when Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations, it can be done. But there are conditions that wait until the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be clothed with power from on high. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive power to become my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. This is not going to be about you, your power. I just want your obedience. And God blesses us and making impact of the world. So why is this mission possible? Why can this mission not fail? One, God promised Matthew 24, 14, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. It doesn't matter what the human economy, what the political condition is. No one can thwart God's plan. God wants to see the earth filled with His glory. Amen? That is the prophetic picture, that the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. That's what Revelation says there. Power. God, it's not up to our brilliance, strength, resources. God said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power to become my witnesses. Number three, because God gave us a plan. What is the plan? Expand geographically from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria to the ends of the earth. What did he say? Make disciples. This is the key to win the world. Make disciples of all nations. Number four is because God has ordained people. What does Revelation 5 talks about? Kings and priests. What does 2 Corinthians 5 talks about? We are ministers of reconciliations. We are ambassadors of Christ. God ordained us. Represent the kingdom. Provision. God promised. He will bless us. He will make us great. Every time you encounter the promise of greatness in the Bible, that means influential. God will give you power to make wealth. And so confirm His covenant to you. And finally, because He said, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. I will be with you always. Amen? Hallelujah. Shall we just bow our heads? Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing all over the world. We are just privileged and honored. Who are we, Father? In light of the need, in light of the opportunities, we are really nothing apart from you. But thank you that, Lord God, you are no respecter of people, Lord. You are pleased with faith. And Father God, even as we have, as a very poor nation, as a poor church, rise up, Lord God, in our own nation to obey the Great Commission. We have seen your blessing as we shifted from being a field nation to becoming a sowing nation. You broke the spirit of poverty and begin to bless us. I pray that same testimony in this church. This church, Lord God, have the heart in their nation. I thank you for Pastor Richard and Creasy and all the pastors in this church, their passion to see your kingdom advance in the nations. Lord, they are committed to world missions. They have sown to Bhutan. They have sown to many nations. They have sent missionaries from this church. I pray, Lord God, that you will continue to multiply the works of their hands. Continue to expand their resources. Even this building, Father God, may it be a city set on a hill, literally. And Lord, may it be a place of prayer for all nations. Lord God, that nations will stream through. Lord God, many nations will be touched. So Lord, I just continue to claim the promise of Genesis 12 to every single member of this church. Lord, that they will not only be blessed, but they will be blessed with more than enough, with overflowing blessings. I break the curse of barrenness, Lord God. I release your blessings. Open the floodgates of heaven. I speak increase. I prophesy increase. I speak promotion. I speak creative ideas. Give them the ability to make wealth. Lord, multiply them. Increase their numbers so they can fill the earth with your glory. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone say, amen. Amen. Thanks be to God. Come on, give the Lord a big hand.